It is Wednesday morning, the 29th of April. Joining us for Talk Shop today is Brian and Virginia from the Supervisors.
You're from there now.
Sounds
you
like
aren't one.
Yeah.
Yeah, from all over the place. Okay, Winston, you have a way to say that.
Porterhouse steak. Who was the porter for whom the porterhouse steak was named?
Oh, I was excited that I knew we were on a train. Virginia, you have any idea?
Porter. The person who delivered it was a porter, wasn't it? I haven't been on many trains, but I think there's porters. Is that the people that put you on the plane? Yeah, a train, plane, trains, automobiles.
Yeah.
No, actually, it's got nothing to do with trains. It's from an early New York tavern keeper. The porterhouse was famous for its steaks, but on one occasion ran out of them. So, Porter dipped into his larder and took out a large piece of sirloin he'd been keeping for roasting. He cut a piece and broiled it. The steak was found to be delicious and was added to the bill for fare as porterhouse steak.
Yeah, well, okay.
Having a steakhouse, I probably should have known that, but...
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, you can almost start saying that it was so long ago that your memory's starting to fade now.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm not doing it now, for sure.
Yeah, no kidding, no kidding. So what are you hearing around? Anything exciting? I know there's an awful lot of focus on restaurants and food, the food service industry, but there are a number of other industries that are out there also. How are you hearing that they're faring?
You know, it's obviously things change every day, right? So anything new that comes up gets a whole new reaction in the community, some good, some bad. And, you know, I think everybody's looking forward to being able to, you know, consider, I don't know what it is we're returning to, but, you know, start being more like our, you know, the life we kind of remember. But, and restaurants are definitely a really big part of it. You know, I think my concern is I'm not sure how many are going to, you know, once everything is opened up again or starting to open up and to see, I'm not sure how many people are actually going to be going out. So I think part of it is trying to figure out how to get people comfortable in going out in a safe manner and, like, servers in restaurants to feel that they're safe as well. And so I'm sure there's a lot of working through bugs that has to be done.
Yeah, one of the challenges, obviously, is going to be the survival rate of businesses locally as well. You know, I mean, I've seen some statistics, and I think I've used this in some of the past programs, is that the average small business has got 15 days of cash reserves on hand. Well, okay,
yeah.
We're past that one. Very, very significantly,
yeah.
We're past that one. Yeah.
One is... You know, with restaurants in the first place, the survival rate is pretty low, unfortunately, when they open up. And so we have a lot of small operators, and sometimes there's a benefit to being a small operator, sometimes not. So it's a challenging one, but, you know, I've in the past several weeks now been trying to go out as much as I could to take things to go. And I always feel a lot better when I actually see several other people coming in and out while I'm waiting for my order to be ready, because I think people are still trying to support as much as they can the food service industry. But it's changed for sure.
Yeah, I think the whole local support, shop local, that kind of stuff, we're seeing it. But what I'm finding interesting is that there are certain businesses that are geared up for it and can accommodate, and others that either for one reason or another are not able to either adjust or to accommodate, and that seems to be almost a clean demarcation line.
Well, you know, and I think part of it is, you know, attitude. I think a lot of people, their spirits are broken. They aren't feeling like they want to try to rev it up again because they know how hard it was to start in the first place. You know, I mean, just look at Las Vegas, the conversations that have been going on there about, you know, open it up right now. And was it one, I think it's not, maybe it's the Wynn that has a real complete operations plan of how they're going to do it. And nobody else does. But so it's like some people, I think, have really, instead of, you know, just being upset about things not moving, I think they've actually been trying to look at how can I actually make this happen. Like I said, if our business is still open, I can't imagine having to go through and try to determine what that looks like in this this current environment. But you know, I think we're going to see, you know, more as the weeks come of you know, what it's going to look like. But we need to know how we can help. And if that's, you know, I think to-go is still going to continue to be a very big part of the equation if they can't put as many people in restaurants as they used to.
Yeah, I think the separation and things of that nature is going to be there. It is interesting, though, how certain businesses have adapted and are doing okay. I don't know if anybody is ever going to say that they're doing well, but doing okay. So it will be interesting, and it's certainly going to put pressures on county and county services also, as people are looking either for the counseling, you know, the support for business acumen and things of that nature. And you know, those are areas that the county really hasn't been that long in, or if there are availabilities, it's at a restricted level that they couldn't handle 100 businesses seeking help. It might only be half a dozen or so at a time.
Yeah, you know, what I would suggest as you start, you know, in the future when you plan programs and things calm down, we'll have some folks from Economic Development come and kind of give you a sense of where they see things going, what they're currently doing, what they think is going to work well, and where their challenges are, because I think we're all going to be figuring that out. I wish I could tell you now all the answers, and if I could, I'd be...
Well, so do we.
Yeah, I was going to say. It would not be accurate.
Yeah, absolutely. No. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and
good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Virginia Bass. Virginia, the whole uncertainty of this thing has got to be a little bit challenging. From your perspective, what are you hearing out of the state? Are you getting anything definitive? Are you having to read between the lines? I know with the position that you've had with CSAC, that things are a little bit different, but at least on the outside looking in, it seems as if an awful lot of what the governor and the governor's office is doing is posturing for 2024 rather than perhaps dealing with the situation immediately in front of them in California rather than how it's going to play out throughout the country.
Well, I think between our governor and New York's governor, there's a little bit of 2020 in both of them. It's like, or 2024,
yes.
I guess it is. And
yeah.
But, you know, I'll say with the phone calls, I will say the governor's administration has been extremely good at trying to keep everybody at least engaged. I mean, I'm on probably 3 calls a week as one of the CSAC officers, with some of them directly with the governor's staff. We've had a couple times with the governor. But also, I know our public health officers and county administrative officers are involved in a lot of calls, and same with the DHHS. And so there's a lot that they are trying to do, but there's so many moving parts. And I think, like I was on a call most recently for testing, and this was a call that was with the state public health folks. And so it was very interesting. But still so much unknown, right? You know, so it was a conversation on how far are we in testing. And by looking at what the numbers, it was like, wow, 18,000 tests a day seems like a lot to me. Well, they, you know, the governor says he wants it up to 25,000 a day before, you know, lifting the order. And so there's still a long ways to go. But, you know, so we're inside on some information in that respect. you know, my frustrations are trying to weave our way through. This has been really hard because, you know, when golf courses were starting to open in other places like Ventura County and they were taking off restrictions, I reached out to say, well, what is it you guys are doing? Because the governor's fine with it. And they weren't doing anything that was less restrictive than the governor. And so it was okay. So I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. Why are we not? You know, so there's inequities on, you know, how this is rolling out. And part of it is because we are a huge state. And, you know, maybe in Eureka, I get a lot of these concerns when you're in a more densely populated area. But 4,000 square counties with 135,000 square people, most of them centered in one, you know, 80,000 in one area. We should be able to look at things a little differently than the rest of the state. And so that's my biggest frustration, is it's not yet being allowed to be tailored to, you know, your local communities. You know, that could change it any day, though. So everything.
Well, that's one of the thoughts that I had also was that the governor, okay, has a certain standard, but in theory, they've been pushing down a lot of things to local jurisdictions. Well, okay, so he needs the testing to be to a certain level so that then he has enough confidence in you and the county, other county officials, to be able to make the determination what makes most sense here rather than referencing L.A. or Sacramento? Or do you do like you indicated Ventura does and just, okay, we'll wildcat it and we'll do it. And if you guys want to send people in, then send people in.
Well,
whatever.
They didn't wildcat it. They actually ran it by the governor first. And so that was one thing, you know, that's a good reminder, is even if you think it's something different, run it by them. And in this case, it wasn't considered to be any more restrictive, in fact, actually any less restrictive, because that's the key. You know, local government can make things more restrictive. And I guess the part I've been trying to figure out is, well, wait a minute. So they loosen things up, and they're still more restricted than the governor. So that's the part that's got me a little confused. Then what is it we're looking for? And I would not want the job of a health officer in any county right now. I mean, you can be overly cautious and people get upset and you be too cavalier and just decide, oh, heck with it. And people die on your watch. I mean, that's an ugly, it's not a fun place to be, I'm sure.
Right, and then you've got that decision-making point, the economic viability or livelihoods versus the health, and what is an acceptable risk on either side. You know, is there any reference that have you guys had? I would presume it would have to be a closed door hearing because everybody else would be jumping all over it. About, okay, here's where we're going to feel comfortable, and it's not going to be zero detect for 6 weeks, because that's kind of, I mean, that you'd have protests in the street. On the other side, you know, if you've got businesses shuttering and closing down all over the place, and our unemployment level jumps over 20% here in the county, well, okay, there's not going to be much left if it gets to that point where 50% of the private sector is now out of a job.
We actually, those conversations would most likely have to be in public anyway, because the only things we can actually have in closed session are things that are related to, you know, negotiation for projects, I mean, for property and personnel issues and lawsuits. So, I mean, in theory, it could be a conversation that happens as a result of a lawsuit, I suppose. But anyway, I believe most of this is going to end up being pretty public. You know, the sheriff and the health officer have been doing a lot of town halls. It's frustrating for people because it's not like we can be there and we can't ask questions. But they're starting to put out more information that, you know, I think will help explain what it is we're actually trying to get to. You know, there's a lot of modeling that's done out of Johns Hopkins, and, you know, is that accurate? I don't know, but it's done with people who actually know what they're doing. And so, you know, you got to look at these things, and yeah, it's a balance. But one thing I do want to mention.
Because I know when you mention one thing, it tends to lead to another. So let's take a quick break here, and then we'll be back. It's 8:30.
Hi, this is Brian Papstein. This afternoon, Humboldt County Health Officer Teresa Fankovic is having a press conference and will be announcing the formalization of our current practices, formerly referenced as shelter in place. What does this mean? How does it impact you? Find out as we will be talking with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel this afternoon. Stay tuned here in the 4 o'clock hour. You'll be able to hear that interview in its entirety, and we'll have it on our website later this afternoon.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Virginia Bass. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. So, Virginia, what kind of canaries do you have, personally? When are you going to think that it's time to start getting things normalized, or, you know, have the restaurants separate the tables a little bit, maybe limit the number of people into a retail setting at a time, but start to show signs of getting things back? When are you going to start getting pushy about that?
Well, I think, there's actually things happening now. It's obviously not going to be fast enough, but people would like it to be. But I think it's gradual. The first phase, there were three people. I shouldn't say three people. A lot of people were upset about the masking or the face covering order that came through. And part of that was because that's actually recognized as the first step in actually moving forward and getting people back out in the community again. And so it's kind of like, even in Ventura, Supervisor Jared there told me they've relaxed some restrictions, but at the same time, they actually tightened others. Like, okay, yes, you can start going out, but you must wear, a face covering. So, some people feel that was, in taking away their rights. And I'm thinking, for me, it's a small price to pay to try to start moving forward. But one other thing that I just wanted to mention, and maybe one of the other supervisors has already done this, but the hard thing for us is we've got so many people, that are very angry, and they're angry at us, which that's our job. People can get angry at us. I've had friends that have just gone absolutely scary, ballistic, and it's kind of like, and what they don't understand is the Board of Supervisors, we are not the ones that make the decision on how this happens. We are not the ones who decide to, do an order that has been done. I don't think people understand that the public health officers in California have the ability. And so basically, whether it's Humboldt County or any others, the Board of Supervisors are kind of, in some ways, we're on for the ride, which is not exactly, it's like, well, where are we going? Because we're not driving. And so we have to be able to communicate to the community what's going on. But most of it is, it's not things that we are able to decide on, And I don't think people understand that. And I think, quite frankly, a lot of supervisors in the state don't understand that either. Because it's kind of weird when you're the governing body and you're used to having the say to find out that it's not your choice anymore. So I don't know if people are actually aware of that or not. I mean, I think a lot of people aren't.
Right. Well, and part of it, I think this is some of the concern is, we thought that there would need to be some form of formal declaration, that it would have to be sanctioned, that it wouldn't be an appointed position that could all of a sudden start mandating certain things going on, just if an individual or if a group felt like it. And martial law is a significant thing, but for some of the different states' governors to be doing this, and some opting to do it one way, some another, it becomes confusing as well as frustrating, and I suppose concerning for a lot of folks of who's in charge here, and then how do we go through the process of appealing? Because, certainly isn't something that's been made available to us.
No, and actually, if you're home just drinking your 45th cup of coffee in the morning like I am, I've been looking at things like the, code on the California Public Health Officer Authority. It's like,
right. Right.
You know, it's not exactly light reading, but it kind of gives a sense of, okay, this is a big deal. And actually, and I think, you know, most public health officers work in conjunction with their sheriff, because it's pretty much a joint situation, because the sheriff is the one who has to, you know, basically enforce. And so, you know, and it's not one person just going, you know, hog wild on their own. They're generally spending a lot of time with their associates in other counties and trying to weave their way through their local minefield of, you know, well, if I do this, then this is going to happen. I do this, this is going to happen. And anyway, it is not a job I'd ever want to have. Public health office.
No, on so many levels.
Yeah, really. But, you know, and the staff, though, has done a tremendous amount of work, you know, whether it's the people not emergency command and, you know, but just the folks that are working in our lab. You know, can you imagine being in a lab? Not only, this is not the only bad thing they deal with. They deal with actually like ricin and all these other types of things that have come through. You know, sometimes we get things sent to us from Pelican Bay, you know, to be tested. And so whether it's this or a whole host of other things, I really wouldn't want that job of being in there.
Well, that's because you're not a nursey. That's all.
That's like, that's where I have to do. Are you kidding? It's like,
you don't want to put me in charge of that kind of stuff either. My competency level is so low. It would be reconfirmation for a lot of folks. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Virginia Best. Virginia, what are your other compadres in other small rural communities throughout the state? What have been their experiences during this?
Well, I think a lot of the same, I mean, frustrations. Some counties, well, it's interesting. Some counties have zero. Say, like, Plumas County has had zero. But they're also not, they don't want to necessarily rush and open up the town. But their issue, and same with like Mono County and others, are the people that flock there, you know, to second homes or to, you know, recreate. And they're going like, man, we've been able to kind of keep a low number here, but we don't need you guys, right? So they've got a little bit of a different challenge than other, you know, some rural counties. Others, you know, are looking, I think everyone's looking at it a little differently. And they've all want to see their economy move forward because we're all dying on the vine. You know, I mean, governments everywhere are going to be likely, I hate to use the word bankruptcy. I don't know how people are going to recover. I mean, even individual businesses, well, when those go down, the government goes down. And right now, we're not getting the property taxes that have been deferred. You know, we're not getting the sales tax that is way deferred. And so we're all facing that same issue. But, you know, Del Norte County, there's been a lot of people that really don't like the idea of further restrictions or having been restricted. So I think you've got a different dynamic there. It's, and every county is choosing different things, I think, to be their essential businesses, because it is different. Here, you know, we have a lot of the lumber products industry is still very much moving things around on the bay and you know, doing what they do, because that's essential for us, right? So I don't know if that answers it. It's just everybody's doing what they can within the parameters and trying not to stretch too far. But it just feels like none of us can really, you know, we're still being held back for more than any of us would really like to have going on right now. It's just like, yeah, can we just pretend this didn't happen?
And so is there a venue or an avenue or a channel for folks that do want to have their feelings included, their opinions expressed? I mean, you know, we we'll have public hearings and public meetings till the cows come home on certain topics, but there really doesn't seem to have been a venue for a lot of folks to be able to either reach out to you guys so that you can pass it along. I don't know if the county public health department has any interest in that, or if the sheriff has any interest in that. I mean, who do you go to if you want to share what your suggestions are, or if you have an opinion about possible ways? Well, why not let the golf courses be open as an example? Why not allow some of these other things, but for folks to be able to have somewhere that they can communicate their concerns?
Well, they certainly can email us. In fact, there's been a lot of movements in the past on the golf courses, and I think it leads to results. Also, what I believe is going to become more of a regular occurrence as we move forward is the sheriff has started asking us, you know, we've got a list of businesses, you know, which do you think, in your opinion, what have you been hearing that needs to be opened up? What are you hearing with people would like to see opened up? You know, and so we are starting to get the ability to provide that kind of input. Obviously, we have to realize that what we say may not fly, people write in. People emailing is great. Just be nice when you email, though, because when we get these emails that say horrible, awful things and, you know, wishing we'd, like, croak, it's like it's really hard to take that suggestion and say, hey, change
Yeah, you just go out on the deck and pretend you're a frog and croak, and then you come back inside and you're done. That's all. All righty.
Be kind. Be kind to each other.
Be normal, be professional, and be positive. Thanks for coming by.
All right.
All righty. Bye-bye.